836 with John Landecker. Dr. Gary Orosi, if I got the last name correct, doctor?
Yeah, that's perfect, Don. Thank you, and thank you for inviting me on the show tonight.
Yes, and congratulations on your PhD.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I have great memories of the city of Chicago. I did some growing up on the south side in Oak Lawn.
Oh, fantastic. So, we're like talking to a local.
almost, do that.
So, your dissertation, what was your dissertation on?
Yeah, I focused really on the degree of trust we have in the emerging technologies of smart speakers and the artificial intelligence that goes on, you know, in behind them. Smart speakers, the Alexas and the Siris and so forth, I mean, are the fastest growing electronic consumer product category ever. And they're in about 80 million homes. Are they trusted advisors? That, you know, that's a legitimate question. And would we trust them with, you know, general personal or even private queries? And to what degree, you know, do we believe that that trust would be honored? So I went at this in two different stages. I asked some college-age millennials, about 100 of them, you know, do you trust Alexa with general questions like, you know, what would be a good iPhone? And they gave me a 8 out of 10, you know, pretty trustworthy. Personal questions such as, you know, where can I get a confidential COVID test? That dropped to about half because clearly people were concerned about others learning about that. And then when it got to private questions, things that had to do with relationships, for example, you know, some people had no trust in Alexa. Now, that was an interesting part of this study, but then I went out to about 300 folks in the general population that were in that millennial age group, now between 18 and 35, and in fact, they did trust Alexa with a lot of those questions. So I think on one hand, we're concerned, but on the other hand, we, you know, we're somewhat reliant on these devices.
Well, I have to say, maybe it's a demographic identified by what demographic you're in. I would never ask Alexa for any of those things that you just mentioned. I mean, there are other ways of doing that. And from what I understand, and maybe you can help me with this. Now, is it true? Okay, Alexa is listening all the time. Is that right?
Well, that's somewhat true. Alexa is passively listening all the time for her, for her wake word. So she's not consciously listening. But if you say Alexa, and there have been examples where, you know, people have had similar words, Praxis, and all that kind of thing that have woken her up, then she does listen. And anecdotally, you know, folks have recorded dinner conversations with their friends that they had hoped wouldn't maybe be stored in Alexa. You know, one couple had a situation where a personal conversation was recorded and somehow was emailed to one of their contacts. So those kinds of experiences that are, you know, that are a bit troubling and concerning over the technology. I think the key here, John, is, you know, you've got to control your technology. You can't let the technology control you.
Right.
And people use technology because it makes our lives easier, because it's accurate and does a good job, and it's trusted. And I think that's something that Amazon and certainly Google, you know, honor greatly. They certainly don't want us to distrust their brands.
No, I think if the consumer, you can't have a product that the consumer distrusts. You know, your whole, you're going to fail. But the thing that intrigued me from what I'm reading about Alexa and maybe the other Google and the other smart speakers, and I'm probably way behind on the learning curve on this, is that it stores everything?
It does, yeah. Now, you do have the ability to make changes in that. So it will store your conversations after those wake words, you know, for years. And again, you know, there's experiences where folks have realized that it has this cache of the conversations you've had with it, you know, going back some time from the time that you actually purchased the product. But Amazon in particular has come forward and allowed you to do things like delete all of that, allows you to not record
some of your active conversations or delete it after a period of time. You know, they're taking, I think, the right kind of steps, John, to be sure that that trust that we have in that device is key. Let's face it, you know, one of the motivating objects of Amazon is to get us to order products through their, you know, through their service. And so they don't want to have us distrust them, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. And the thing, and you're the perfect person for me to be talking to about this. So, hypothetically, in my mind, here's the way it works. We have all these smart speakers. Let's just keep it with Alexa. And people are concerned that it's recording information. And then I think to myself, well, how many Alexas are there in the world? And how much recording is going on? And where does that recording go to? And is Amazon then like Big Brother? I mean, and even if they are, who could keep track of all of those? I mean, there must be literally millions of recorded items.
There are a lot, and a lot of it resides up in the cloud. And
yeah.
I think when I speak to people about their kind of relationship, if you will, I mean, let's face it, some of these are becoming kind of like our trusted advisor, our friend, somebody else in the family, right?
Wow.
The thing that gets them creeped out are things like, hey, I said I was interested in a pair of skis for, you know, for this fall or this winter season, and then all of a sudden I start getting all these ads on my social media platforms, right? And, who wanted that, right? I didn't ask for that. So I think there's some steps that need to be taken in managing, you know, on the side of the manufacturers, Google, Alexa, you know, the Samsung AI system and so forth, managing the relationship in a responsible way that we both agree works for us, not just the advertisers.
Well, there was a article in the Washington Post in 2019 that said, would you let a stranger eavesdrop in your home and keep the recording? and bugging our homes is Silicon Valley's next frontier. Do you think there's any truth to that?
I do, and I think I do think what's happening now is you know, privacy laws are starting to become more more prevalent. So you may be aware that the European Union passed some pretty strict privacy laws that, you know, you have to give people permission to do the things that we're talking about. California has also instituted a very similar set of privacy rules. And on the internet now, you know, cookies can't follow you around and track you and retarget you. Yeah, I think more and more of that is coming into play. And I think maybe at some point, you know, government policy should take a few steps and ensure that you and I have, as I was saying earlier, control of our devices, not that the devices or the manufacturers, you know, have control over us. I mean, we're all spooked out by the movies, you know, HAL 2000 all of the AI things that took over, and, you know, God forbid the Terminator should show up.
Alexa, send the Terminator home. So let's just go over again what people can do about eliminating the information from the Alexa storage bank, for lack of a better term. What can we do about getting rid of it if we don't want Alexa to have it?
Yeah, good. That's exactly it. And again, I think Amazon is trying to be, you know, trustworthy here. You can get onto the Amazon site, just like, you know, you go buy something and get into the Alexa system and be able to, you know, put the kinds of controls in that we've been talking about, you know, how long a particular recording is kept, and then when it gets erased, and you can erase it, you know, at any point.
Oop. I think we just, you just broke up there, Doctor, but you're back.
Yeah, no, I think the ability to control Alexa through the Amazon system is one of the first steps in being able to do that. You know, one of the problems we have as consumers is we're all plug and play, right? We're just so used to pushing pushing it into the wall and or just turning it on. And thanks Steve Jobs and all those for making it easy to work our smartphones. And so we don't read the manual. We don't go back and figure out, you know, what's being what's happening to us and what's happening to the data that we have. And if folks are able to do that, if they're actually able to get in and learn about what their Alexa can and can't do, then yeah, they're going to be able to manage that pretty well.
Can you change Alexa's name?
Well, they're talking about that. Certainly Samuel Jackson is one of the voices you can have now. As your Alexa voice? Absolutely. And pretty soon, I believe what they're trying to do is make it even friendlier. So, you know, there is some research that shows people kind of get a lot of enthusiasm about their Alexa device for the first couple of weeks that they use it, and then it sort of, runs out of its,
right.
It's novelty. So
now wait,
can
so
they
I,
make it more friendly and more trustworthy by making it sound like, you know, your best friend or your spouse? You know, that's a
good
point.
Oh my God. I don't know. Oh, I just, if I get the Samuel Jackson voice, I don't still say Alexa, do I? I say Samuel.
Yeah, exactly right. And so pretty soon,
cool.
What's your best friend's name, right? Or
maybe you want
Jeeves to be your household friend or something. You know, kind of whatever that worked. You know, it's all about one of the things I also found was a challenge in trusting these devices is that they sound sort of human. There's a little bit of humor.
Oh, sure.
A little bit of, what we call anthropomorphism, human-like behavior, but not quite. You know, they still sound a little stilted, a little mechanistic and all. And so, you know, we can't quite get close enough to them maybe to put that level of trust to ask those personal and private questions. And ideally, you know, that's where the Amazons want Alexa and Apple wants Siri is to be right next to you on a daily basis.
You know, you mentioned the excitement, a fascination that you get, and then after a few weeks it sort of wears off. I can distinctly remember the first time somebody ever demonstrated Alexa to me. I mean, a few years ago. I had never seen one before. And they said, watch this or listen to this, whatever. And they asked it something or other. I forget exactly what it was asked. And this voice came on and gave him a very detailed answer. And I'm like, wow, that's really something.
Yeah.
But now it's like, shut up.
Well, and there's the other part of kind of adopting the technology to the degree we're talking about and kind of getting through to the higher levels of trust. And that is how sophisticated are the devices right now? And if you look at maturity curves, technology maturity curves, you know, they're kind of at a second level, right? They're out of the just sort of novelty phase, and they are somewhat useful and all, but you can't really get to two or three levels of discussion with an Alexa, right? It just kind of stops or it hits a wall, right? But with the advances in computing capability and linguistic context capability, like what are we talking about? What is this word and how is it meant and what's the emotion behind it? That's going on in the research labs at all of these companies. That's going to get better and better all the time.
There's one point called
Creepy Valley, which we hope we never get to. Which
Creepy Valley
is that point where it's just a little too human for you and I.
Oh, I'll leave us on that note, the Creepy Valley note. Thank you, Doctor. It's been great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Take care and have a good evening.
You too.